UFC did not sell yet, according to what I've been reading. It's another thing that's been going around the news lately. I really think that was a setup, you know, because you have to look at that and look at who's involved in the major company that's part of that bid. Is Dana White's agent is running the whole thing and also involved with Ronda Rousey. And you got to wonder if they just did this whole bidding process specifically to put a huge value on it that they know is just going to increase the more people talk about the whole thing being for sale. So the next time when they actually announce publicly that it's for sale, they'll have that $4.2 million to start at. That's the starting bid now. So I think this is right up to Fertitta's alley. This is the kind of shit they pull all the time. So I would not be surprised. And especially the way it came out on like some rinky-dink website, the first report, you know. All of a sudden some little website's got this big scoop that the UFC is being sold. They wanted it out there.
Sure.
It's the only thing that makes sense to me. Some impressive wins. A lot of tough competition over the years.
Yeah, I was looking at his record, and his first fight in the WEC was Donald Cerrone. They kind of moved him up quick.
All right. We're going to connect with him. I love his nickname, The James Krause. That's his nickname.
James.
Hello, the James Krause, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron here with the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We also have Psychic Tom on the line and Tony the Tornado. How's it going?
Hey, James.
So, you got a fight coming up, James? You got anybody in the works right now?
Nope. I don't have anything on the books now. Obviously, I had to pull out of that Ross Pearson fight from family issues, but no, I don't have anything on the books as of right now.
All right. Is there anybody you want to call out or you're hoping to get?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, I would like to compete against guys that that like to go out and they like to be exciting. I'm not big on. I like to be exciting. I want the fans to want to watch me, and I think that's important. So for me, I would like to fight. You know, the guys that want to bring the fight to you, and they're not hard to find in there. You know, so that's important to me.
Right. Now, who'd you say is the toughest guy you ever fought so far? You got a lot of big names on your record. Who's the toughest out of them all?
The toughest that I've ever fought?
Yeah.
I would probably say Cerrone would be the toughest guy I've fought.
Yeah, that guy is a workhorse, I'll tell you. I don't know whether it's because he needs money or he just likes to fight, but he'll get finished with a fight, both. And he'll be like, give me another one, now! Just unbelievable, that guy. He always wants to fight. Tell us a little bit about... how you got into the sport of mixed martial arts?
So, it's kind of a long story. I mean, I've been at it for almost 10 years. I started just after high school. I didn't have anything else going on, and a friend actually invited me to go train, and I just showed up one day, and it was something I fell in love with. I really loved the fact that a smaller guy could beat a bigger guy, and I liked the fact that it was weight classes, and I liked the fact that you didn't have to be an athlete to to do good, you can use your brain to, you know, to get wins and do good stuff. So that was really appealing to me, that it was kind of like a chess match.
And what's your ultimate goal with all of it? Where do you want to take this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think mine's a little bit different than most people's. I think it's get in, make money, take that money and reinvest it into whatever, and then get out. You know, I think the sport of MMA and really just professional athletes in general is such a short, it's a short window, so you have to take advantage of it whenever it's in there. So, you know, for me, what does that look like? I mean, well, the better you're doing, the more money you're going to make, right? If I keep winning fights, you know, I double my paycheck when I win. So I guess the answer is I want to take it as far as it'll go, and I want to make the most money I can.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the press recently about the UFC as far as, fighters coming up on free agency, the Reebok deal. There's a lot of difficult things to think about now, and I'm actually hearing way more fighters come out and talk about the money issues and having to work so hard to make the money now. And it's amazing to me that the powers that be in the UFC don't do anything to really make that statement that, you know, all right, we know you guys are hurting from the Reebok deal, so we're going to adopt this to make sure you get more bonus money or, you know, higher pay. And you got a guy like McGregor, he comes in with limited experience, and he's the highest-paid UFC guy. How did that happen?
Well, he knows how to sell tickets, really. I mean, that's the name of the game. The game is not, you know, the sooner people realize that this is no longer the fight game and this is a sports entertainment game, the sooner people will start making bigger paychecks, because that's really what we're at now. It's not about fights anymore. It's about selling tickets, man, and that's just what it is. And the dude sells more tickets than just about anybody on the planet. So, I mean, that's why he's getting paid, you know, and that's just the name of the game. It's all about return on investment for the UFC. And they feel like they're getting it with him, so they're going to keep paying them.
Yeah. Unbelievable, you know. But talk a little bit about your experience. You've been in the UFC for a few years now, but, you know, you had your debut way back So how have you liked working with the company in general? Has it
you cut out a little bit. You say that again.
How has it been working with the UFC as an organization in general?
Oh yeah, I like it. I mean, like I said, I follow the money, and the UFC paid me the best so far, and you know, they're really well organized. They're organized within I fought for just about every major organization, and whether you like them or not, whether people think you're being underpaid or whatever, they're the best organization to fight for right now, and that's just the truth of it. I fought for them all, and they're the best to fight for right now, whether you think you're getting fair pay or not. I've never made as much money as I have with them as anybody else, so I mean, I think they're the best company to fight for.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's. Sometimes it boils down to your experience with them, you know, whether it's your fighting style that they appreciate, or, you know, just your name recognition. It's just like, to me, sometimes it's like certain people enjoy everything about the UFC, and then certain people come out and they say, you know, I want to get out. I can't stand it.
Well, I think people just, for me, I'm a businessman. I'm an entrepreneur. I own businesses, and I run a gym, and If you go into the UFC knowing what you're going to get, it's a great deal. It's an awesome deal. But if you go into the UFC thinking that you're anything other than a puzzle piece to a business, you're wrong. That's just what it is. And that's the problem with some of these fighters, is they think that it's, man, this is a business. And if product A is not getting the ROI, the return on investment that the UFC is putting into them, they got to make the cut, man. It's just 2 + 2 = 4. It's a pretty basic thing, if you ask me. But some of these guys go in with this misconception that, you know, like the UFC owes them something. They have some, like, some kind of weird sense of self-entitlement. Look, like, nobody owes me anything. And then, so it's my job to make sure that I'm exciting, that people want to watch me, and that I'm getting money back on their investment in me. That's my job.
Right. True. Very true. And how about your role models, either inside or outside of the sport, as you were coming up? Who really helped you out?
Yeah, I don't have any role models. All my role models are, like, business people, entrepreneurs. I don't have any fighting role models, man. I try to pick and choose and steal from everybody. I try to take bits and pieces of everybody's good stuff, and I apply it to my game. I take what works, I keep it in there, and I throw away the stuff that's not working well for me. All my role models are entrepreneurs and business people.
Cool. And you also do a lot of training, right? Working with guys that have got fights coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a coach. I'm a coach first. I love the sport. I love combat sports. I'm a fan first before I'm a fighter. And, I love the tactical aspect behind it. I love coaching others. I love helping others improve. And it's something that I'm very passionate about, and I'll continue to do even after I'm done fighting.
Awesome. How about, do you have favorite fighters or fighters that you always have to watch when they're fighting?
I like matchups. I follow matchups, and I like people. You know, I like people not for their skill, but for their, their style. I'm a McGregor fan, not because the way he fights. I do like the way he fights, but I'm not a fan of his because of that. I'm a fan of his because he's changed the MMA business game, and I can appreciate that no matter what he says. You know, I appreciate the fact that he has changed the way people look at the pay.
Right.
He has changed the paradigm and the perception of what people get paid, and he has raised the bar. And I like that. I appreciate that. You know, will it affect me at some point in my career? Probably not. But he does pave the way for the next guy down the road. You know,
yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I like things like that.
It's kind of interesting to see, for me, to see when people get bigger than the UFC, which is what he kind of became for a little while. I don't know if he is right now, but for a little while, it looked like this guy is bigger than the UFC. I mean, he's like pushing them around, telling them what to do. So I think that helped in a lot of ways, because then he turned around and realized, well, geez, I can do something with this. And he was very outspoken about those issues. And just the whole idea of, you know, making you go to press conferences and stuff while you're supposed to be getting your head right and going in there and trying to work on your skills. And you got to do this whole, you know, four-city press tour or whatever the heck they were trying to get him to do. And he said, no, you know, that's kind of a watershed moment for the sport.
Yeah.
This guy saying, no, I don't really want to do that. So, you know, then pulling him out of the whole event because of it, it's kind of like, well, all right, you know, you're special, but you're not that special. It's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think they backed him in. He backed him into a wall where they had to make that move regardless. I think that they were forced to do that. You know, if it's my business, you know, he was, like you said, Conor was getting bigger than the UFC, and I think he backed them into a point where they had no choice but to pull the plug on that and kind of, I guess, put him in check, per se. I don't know. But, you know, I think that he backed them into a spot where they had no choice but to do that.
And now tell us a little bit about some of the guys you coach. They got fights coming up or anything like that?
So I coach Megan Anderson. She's a top 10 Invicta featherweight. Tim Elliott, he's a flyweight champion for Titan Fighting. Zach Cummings and I work with teammates. We work real close together. He's also in the UFC. There's a bunch of other ones, Bellator guys, Titan guys, all that good stuff. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of high-level guys that I enjoy working with and formulating game plans and tactics and just picking their brain on what they're, you know, what they like to do and getting inside their mind and seeing where their mindset is for competition.
And what would you say is the most important thing that you do to get ready for your own fights?
I think it's all correlated into one for me. I think my mind and my body, like my physical training, are one and together. The more I train, the stronger my mind gets, and I think that's the most important thing for anybody is to have a strong mindset whenever they go into to fight. I think that's the most important thing. I mean, you see all the time guys with that are mentally tough beat guys that are way technically better than them. I think having a strong mind is the most important part.
Yeah, I've had other discussions with some fighters who talked about that, and I always look back to, I don't have a whole lot of fighting experience, but when I wrestled in high school, and I was on the JV team for the first year, and we had JV state championships at our school, and I'll never forget just staring up at the lights before my final match that day, and just being more relaxed than I've ever been before any of my boxing matches or any other wrestling match. And it was really mostly mental. I was just so cool, calm, and collected. I'm in my own building, I go in there, and I really never had quick pins. I was always, underweight when I wrestled as varsity wrestler. So this guy was on my own weight, and I go out there and I pin him in like 20 seconds in the finals. And I was just like, wow, it really is important to sit there before a match and just release all the negative energy and just relax yourself.
It's a very
mental game. People don't realize that. They think it's all physical, but you really have to think, you have to strategize, and you have to be relaxed when you go in there. You can't have too much shit going through your head, or you're going to lose your mind. trying to throw it all out there and react in the moment. Alright, Tony, Tom, you got any questions?
James, got to ask this. The sport's evolved a lot, and I'm sure you're a student going back to the early days. And, we've seen initially jiu-jitsu ruled, then it was wrestling's turn, then it went over to a striking land, and then finally we've seen the hybrids coming along. And now it almost seems like we're getting into more fancy kicks. And I noticed you started off with a karate background. Is that correct?
Not really. Kind of. I did karate when I was a kid, but it wasn't anything like serious or anything like that. I did like a year or two worse. But yeah, I do agree with you in the sense that if the sport is going through a phase, I believe the phase right now is traditional martial arts. And it's something that myself and my team work on a regular basis as well.
Yeah, that's what I think, because so often, it's hard to get guys, especially that are really good at the high levels of that. You just don't see that in sparring a lot, because I haven't trained. I'm an old guy now. I haven't trained since it's been about 10 years. But back then, our stand-up was just a combination of boxing and Muay Thai. And you very seldom seen a lot of the spin stuff and the hook kicks and, all that fancy stuff. But it's just amazing how the sports evolve like that. And I guess you just have to stay current on all the new things, because, you got to go with what's working, adapt or perish.
I agree 100%. Yep, I 100% agree.
And, as a trainer, you've probably seen a lot of fitness crazes come, too. I mean, you see that in the fitness world in general. And in MMA, we've seen everything from, the standard road work and weightlifting and, push-ups and everything. And then a lot of balance work and natural movement. And, it just seems like there's so many things going on. Now, do you try to blend a lot of different approaches, or what's your main approach to conditioning?
So ours is more of a resistance and agility type training. Like, we don't really put a huge emphasis on lifting at all. Most of our stuff has come from, like, isolated, like you're working one leg at a time or one arm at a time rather than both legs at a time. But it's a lot of, like, resistance, band work, a lot of footwork, stuff that I believe translates directly over to fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember when BJ Penn hired Mark Marinovich, and he was doing a lot of work with stability balls, and it really seemed to help his cardio for a while. BJ was so talented, it was almost like he was too talented, But yeah. What's that cliche? There's always that guy out there that doesn't know how talented you are, and he's going to carry you into the later rounds, but it just seems like there's so many different approaches, and I would agree with you. You know, you just have to keep tweaking things and go with it and use it as a lab, see what works.
Yeah, that's exactly like we used to do, like a real heavy lift style, and I felt slow and lethargic when I fought, but so now we do like more of an agility and resistance and band work, and I just feel so much faster and lighter on my feet, and I guess I feel more springy, I guess. Everything just feels faster now for me.
Mm-hmm. I always remember Angelo Dundee's advice. He always said, I don't have my fighters lift because it shortens their reach. But that's why you do reps rather than weight.
Yep, takes a snap out of the punches a lot, too.
All right, Tony, you got anything? Got a couple minutes left.
No, that's what I was talking about, your Angelo Dundee non-weightlifting, you know. I'm a boxing guy, so I'm big into the punching aspect. So that's always a great question. It was like, you know, with the boxing game becoming, you know, more prevalent in the world of mixed martial arts, you know, just give us some ideas just on different things to help improve that. I mean, do you do a lot of just strictly boxing work?
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably my base, is more of a boxing. So the stuff that I'm working on right now is I love the, if you take the sport of boxing, and I love the, my feet are planted and I'm going to hit extremely hard. So my philosophy is we try to incorporate a traditional martial arts footwork style, a lot of stance switches, a lot of like sideways stepping. So basically, I guess, long story short, we're trying to transition from the traditional martial arts style into the boxing footwork. So if we can make it our movement, sideways, forward, backwards, sideways, switch stance, stop for a split second with our feet planted, hit hard, and then we go back to our stance switches, right? So we want to get the best of both worlds. We're moving constantly, but then when we do stop, we're powerful, and then we're back to moving again.
Yeah, see, I don't understand sometimes when Joe Rogan is like, oh, he just switched stances. I just started from a boxing background doing martial arts training and mixed martial arts stuff, and when I go to kick, I always want to switch stances after I kick somebody or target. It seems like there should be way more of that in MMA, and you don't see it in fights to the point where they're actually pointing it out when you do see it.
Yeah, like a lot of my guys, I mean, we're constantly switching stances. We're stepping through on backside stuff all the time. So like when we throw a right hand, we'll step through to southpaw, look for high kicks, body kicks. Yeah. We like to attack the open stance. So we like to make it lefty versus righty or righty versus lefty. So that's kind of like we attack, because that's the dangerous stuff, you know, is that open horseshoe stance where the head kick is open, the body kick is open. We really like to exploit that. So we close the stance, right? And then we step through, and on the transition, we open the stance, and then we try to attack and then close it again.
Awesome. All right, guys. Yeah, because I know in the boxing world, I mean, you have a handful of guys that will fight out of both stances. And a lot of those guys are very unorthodox. You don't see it often. You either get a fighter that's right-handed or a conventional fighter or a southpaw. And the guys that do it, and even when I train people, I always talk about, I'm like, I don't encourage it in a boxing, you know, format. I'm always a traditional guy with your power hand back, because I said, you know, when a pitcher's throwing a baseball, he's got his, you know, his dominant foot back, and he's driving that weight, you know, and twisting that hip. I said, same thing with a quarterback throwing a football. I said, why in a boxing world? I have one guy I trained for a while, and he insisted on going southpaw. And I said, why don't I just chop your left arm off? Because you're getting no power out of that hand at all. If I can teach you a lead jab and maybe how to turn a left hook, combined with your natural right hand out of a right-handed stance, I can give you two hands instead of one. You do have certain fighters that are ambidextrous, and they do have that ability, or some guys, you know, prefer with their lead hand. I just, it's not me. Now, I had a young lady training tonight, literally 30 minutes before we got you on the show, she left, and as I was trying to teach her how to set her feet, because she was picking her back foot up a little bit. And I said, no, when you're driving that right hand, don't get on your tippy toe like a ballerina. I said, you're getting no power. I said, you drive it like you're grinding that cigarette out underneath your foot. And I said, and you feel that power in there. And I said, when you hit somebody, you know, in a boxing match or even an MMA match, and you hit somebody with a shot, I said, it feels like a lightning bolt goes through your body. It actually numbs your toes. I said, that's a great feeling.
Yeah, so, like, my philosophy behind it is I absolutely agree. Like, whenever I'm starting out, like, I want my guys to be in their dominant. Like, you need the back foot, you know, the dominant foot back for the power aspect. So this is my philosophy behind it, is you use the philosophy with the, like, let's say a Major League Baseball pitcher. Let's say his fastball is, you know, he's a right-handed guy. His fastball obviously is going to come from that right foot back, right hand back, right? But what if I told you if he had a nasty slider, if he switched stances, if his slider was better from another stance? And that's kind of the philosophy that I carry, is when we open that stance up, I feel like we basically, when we open the stance up, you don't have to beat that shoulder anymore, especially with the kicks. That shoulder's not in your way anymore. Right, so imagine a righty versus lefty or lefty versus righty. You don't have to beat that shoulder anymore. So if we can open that gap for a split second, take advantage of that, and then close it back out, you know, we open that up to the danger zone. And as long as we are in control of the danger zone, I don't have a problem with it. So that's kind of my philosophy, is like, let's switch stances, throw the good stuff, and then let's close it right back and get right back to dominant. So whenever we're working long, I'm staying off the jab. I want to stay right-handed, you know, but whenever I want to look for a fight-ending finish, you know, move or whatever, I like to switch. You know, I want to open it up, and I look for anything backside, you know, backside kick to the body, backside head kick, straight two down the pipe, because it's a different look. So for me, I'm two different fighters. Whenever I'm right-handed, I like to stay behind the jab. I don't throw the two as much. I stay behind that. But whenever I go southpaw, I'm looking all backside stuff. So straight twos, high head kicks, body kicks, low inside kicks, knees. I'm looking to end the fight, whereas if I'm right-handed, I look to stay behind the jab, stay nice and technical, nice and laid back, picking apart. But when I switch, I'm looking to finish.
Awesome. And one question I always like to ask everybody we get on the show, what do you enjoy most about fighting?
You know, this is actually a great question. I enjoy most about fighting is there's never an end. There's the evolution is infinite. I mean, you can never be the best. There's always somebody working up, and you don't have to be the best athlete. You don't have to be the fastest, the strongest, the toughest, the most, you know, athletic or whatever. You don't have to be the best at anything to be the best, if that makes sense.
Right.
If I'm above average at everything, that makes me a great fighter.
Right. Good point. Now, how about anybody you want to thank or give a shout out to before we let you go?
No, I appreciate you guys for having me, though. Thank you.
Awesome. And how do people find you? How do people find you out there on cyberspace? You got Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah, everything, all the good stuff, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, / The James Krause.
Awesome. I love that, too. That's your nickname. The James Krause.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get to pick him.
Yeah, that's great. All right.
You don't get to pick him.
All right, James. It's been great, and thanks for a great interview, and we'll keep an eye on you. And best of luck, even though I know you won't need it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You too.